In this episode of Wandering the Weekend, we head out to the Amana Colonies near Cedar Rapids, Iowa. We pay a visit to the Map Room, Clockhouse Brewing, and we sit down with Steve, one of the owners of Millstream Brewing. We will talk about how they are maintaining their identity and what changes they are making to stay relevant in the ever-changing craft beer community. Thanks for joining us on Wandering the Weekend. Here's our show. So, welcome back to our podcasting studios, and we are here for another episode of Wandering the Weekend, and joining me as always... Whoa. Is my lovely wife Steph and our rapscallion of a daughter Nova. Nova, can you say hi today? Her mouth is full of cheese. Nova, can you say hi?
You're shy.
she's shy. That's fine, Nova. You don't have to say hi. We'll get there when you're ready.
All right.
So we've been pretty busy. We've been getting back on the road here a little bit. So we've taken a small road trip down to Jordan, where we went to that sparkling wine.
Yeah, I think it was called Moose Winery. Which, it's not M-O-O-S-E, like the moose, like the animal. It's M-O-U-S-S-E, like fancy, I think.
Oh, like moose as in like the dessert?
Right, right. We went there, I don't know, it was quite a couple weeks ago now. All the weeks are blending together for me for some reason.
Then we took that little other mini road trip with Felix. We had our Felix special weekend where we went back to... Hot Sam's Antiques.
Yep. And then we went to a brewery too. What was that? We had pizza. It was really good Detroit style.
Brickworth?
Brickworth, yeah.
Yes, Brickworth.
We had really good Detroit style pizza there. That was delicious.
Highly recommended. And then we had our annual Iowa road trip where we went down to the Amana Colonies.
Yeah.
Which was kind of fun, so. And we're going to spend the majority of our time talking about that
Well,
one.
We forgot Duluth.
We went to Duluth too. Yeah, I forgot about that one. Yeah, we went to the All Pints North Craft Beer Festival.
Yeah, and that was super fun. My favorite beer festival I've ever been to.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I've been to a lot of beer fests working for Beer Paloma, and a lot of them tend to get overcrowded and they're oversold, and you end up waiting 45 minutes for a really mediocre beer. But this one was just the opposite. It was great. So yeah, it was plenty of room, plenty of really good beers there. Everybody was bringing their A game.
Yeah.
Plenty of room to move around. Great weather.
Outside and beautiful, right on the shore of Lake Superior, you know, the lift bridge, if anybody's familiar with Bayfront Park. That is where that's located. And it was really fun. We went with one of my nearest and dearest, Dan Hanger, who happens to be a local news anchor up there. So we were able to get special fancy tickets. And another friend of ours, Josh, and we saw plenty of friends there, and it was really good.
Oh, we went to Vikra, too. Can't forget that.
We did go to Vikra, yeah, and that was really fun. They always have such interesting cocktails, and of course, it's gin. That's what we're all about.
Well, that's what I'm all about. So.
And that was a rare childless wander. It never happens, but she wasn't there. She was with my mom. She had a great time, too. Nova, what did you do with Grandma? I don't even remember. I think you went and saw the horsies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then she did something else with her. Oh, you went to the fair. Do you remember going to the fair?
Yeah.
And you saw the goats?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see chickens?
Mm-hmm.
Were they fun?
Mm-hmm.
Were they super cute? Awesome. So yeah, she had a good time with Grandma. We had a good time.
Sans kids.
That was a really lovely trip. Jordan, and then yeah, we were going to talk about the Amana Colonies. We just were there a couple weeks ago. For our anniversary.
Yeah, happy anniversary.
Yay.
And that was a really fun trip.
Spent 2 nights there in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, just because it is a little bit longer trip and we really wanted to be able to take our time on Saturday and have a full day of fun.
So on the way down, I mean, of course, part of our road trips, it's not just getting to the destination of Cedar Rapids / the Amana Colonies, but it was also getting down there and finding what we find. So our first stop on the trip was we hit Loon Juice Cidery and the Four Sisters Winery.
Right.
Where I had a flight of ciders and you had a flight of wines.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any of the wines that you had and which ones kind of like you remember and stick in your head?
I had a flight of their rosés. So they actually had like 6 or 7 kinds of rosés and you get a little 1 ounce pour for each. And I have to say, typically I go to a winery and I almost always, you know, bring a bottle home because one of them I really liked. And none of them really, I mean, they weren't bad, but they weren't something that I really needed or wanted to take home with me. So I enjoyed my flight of wine. We had a nice little cheese and was there meat? Yeah, meat and cheese and crackers and dried fruits and nuts and stuff like that board. And then you had some ciders.
Yeah, so I had a couple ciders. The two that really kind of stuck out in my head was the mango grapefruit sweet cider and then the extra juicy. were kind of my top two favorites there. So if you're in that area and you want to stop there, those would be my picks, my recommendations. So overall, it was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It was a nice stop if you're in the area.
Super nice stop. And they have a nice outdoor patio area. That was really nice. It was a nice day.
Allowed Nova to stretch her legs a little bit.
Yep. So yeah, we went there and then we made our way back a bit, or down to...
We made it to the hotel. A couple grocery stores in between.
Right. Yes. Cookie stores, as Nova likes to call them.
I have corrupted her to the nth degree now at this point.
She's obsessed.
Yes.
With grocery stores, aka cookie stores. So yeah, we got down to the hotel, kind of unpacked some of our things, and then we headed on out to downtown Cedar Rapids.
And I was actually really surprised how empty it was for, we were there like on a Friday, right?
No, we got there on a, oh yeah, we did get there on a Friday. You're right.
Yeah, so we got there on a Friday and like the downtown zone was pretty empty. I mean, it was scarily empty.
Yeah, but we don't know what it's like normally there, and it's COVID, and it's...
Yeah, that's true. That COVID is a recurring theme for all of our podcast shows.
I know. So annoying. So sick of it. Now it's coming back. Yay! So, we're probably going to do wandering from the basement and from the kitchen this winter again.
So please go get vaccinated, people. Yes, go get vaccinated and wear masks, even if you are vaccinated, especially if you are in crowded indoor areas.
Yes, absolutely.
But we found a wonderful restaurant.
Yeah.
We were aiming for something else, but we ended up at this one just because...
Well, when I was doing my initial little research on places to eat, this one popped up and it just looked super cute and, I don't know, quirky kind of and different. And then we had planned on... I can't even remember the name of the restaurant we planned on going to. Anyways, ended up at the Map Room. There was like a less than 5-minute wait to get in.
Yeah, and their patio area was really nice. I wish they would have had a patio seating open, but it was, all the tables were full, but the wait time wasn't long.
Right. And it was a very tiny restaurant. Tiny, tiny. Probably the size, probably not much bigger than our family room down here.
No, not much
really
bigger.
Really not much bigger.
Especially when you added the bar to it and stuff.
Right. We ate dinner there and Will was just so giddy.
Yes, it was a burger restaurant. And a very unexpected burger restaurant. If you guys are ever in the area, I highly recommend it. So normally, for those of you guys who follow our podcast shows, I'm a big fan of the George Mote style of just having a plain cheeseburger with pickles, mustard, onions. But they had a Maui burger and it had fried Spam on it. I just had to try it. And it was delicious. We'll post a picture on our Instagram page, wandering_weekendmn. So they describe it as the Maui burger, and it has Spam, teriyaki glazed onions, provolone, and grilled pineapple. And it was just salty and sweet and just the bomb. I mean, it was so good.
Let me clarify. The Spam was on top of the already there, like, burger patty.
Yeah, so
It wasn't a
Spam burger. It was a slice of Spam on top of the burger.
Right.
And it was so good. So delicious.
I opted out of trying that.
Well, and you kind of went with just the plain old cheeseburger. And that was delicious too. I mean, it was really good.
It was seasoned really nicely, nicely smashed. And it was exactly what I wanted and expected. And it was really good. Nova had a regular cheeseburger too, and she loved it. She ate almost the entire thing, plus fries. Yeah, we really enjoyed that place quite a bit. It was nice.
Yeah, I would totally go back there again. And I would never, I usually don't go for restaurants a second time in a row if I'm in the area again, but I would definitely go back to the Map Room. So highly recommend. And then after that, we went back to the hotel. You and Nova went back to the hotel, and I headed out for a little wandering on my own. That's neither here nor there. I just went out to a bunch of grocery stores afterwards to check out the area because that's how nerdy I am. And then the next day.
Well, but while you were out, you got me an anniversary gift that we're going to try today.
Oh, yes. Yes. I got you a 4-pack of the Cherry Fandango.
We talked about it in our last episode when we went to
Toppling Goliath. From Decorah, Iowa.
It's my favorite beer. It just is. I decided. Out of all the beers I've tried in my life, it's my favorite. And so he happened to find a 4-pack at the Hy-Vee liquor store.
Yeah, I found it at the local Hy-Vee down there.
And so he brought it in and he said, I got you an anniversary gift. And then I opened up the brown paper bag and I thought, oh, how romantic. So that was that day. And then the next day we woke up early because we wake up early and we have a toddler. So, of course, we woke up early.
Did we go somewhere for breakfast?
We did. We went to that coffee shop. What was the name of that coffee shop?
Yeah. It was Dash Coffee Roasters.
Yes. I had an iced latte there. You had Nolens.
The Nolens.
Iced latte.
And that was really super good. It had a little bit of chickory added to it.
And brown sugar.
Super cool space down there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and their sandwiches were really good too. Their breakfast sandwiches.
She had a berry smoothie that she enjoyed. So yeah, we went there for breakfast, had a coffee, had a little sandwich, breakfast sandwich. They were pretty good. Nova had a smoothie. She really enjoyed it. And then we made our way to the Amana Colonies, which is about, what would you say, 20-minute drive from Cedar Rapids?
Yeah, about 20 minutes drive from Cedar Rapids. How do I describe it, though? Originally, that's where like the German settlers all settled in Iowa, in that area. And there's actually like four parts to it, but we were just in the main part. I think that's the North Amana Colonies.
Mm-hmm.
But there are two or three other sections for it. It's kind of become kind of like a boutique-y,
touristy kind of thing.
Touristy thing where there's just a bunch of shops that are open. I can't think of a Minnesota equivalent to it.
The one town that I can think of that is similar.
Stillwater?
Maybe kind of like Stillwater, but it's called Mineral Point, I think. Mineral Point out in Wisconsin, where...
Well, that's not Minnesota.
The Frank Lloyd Wright house is Taliesin, and that creepy hill on the... House on the Hill or House on the Rock.
The House on the Rocks.
That place is... That's something I don't recommend. But I do recommend Taliesin. That's neither here nor there. Kind of reminds me of Mineral Point with that style houses. They're kind of European-looking stone houses.
Yeah, and it's everything down there has to keep to the aesthetic of the colony. So, like, even the gas station was done in the aesthetics of the colony.
The whole town looks like you're kind of walking back into early 1900s Europe or 1800s Europe.
And so there's a brewery down there, Millstream Brewery, which we'll talk about later.
Yep.
There is a couple wineries down there.
Couple wineries. However, they're not really like wineries. It's not an actual winery. It's a store that sells wine from local nearby wineries, I think.
But they're attached to a winery. So they only sell like one brand of winery.
Right, but it's not the actual site where they make the wine.
Well, we didn't check out that other one. So we don't know if the tanks were there or not.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But I know that the one that we went to, Prosit Winery.
Right.
And they were talking to us about how they bring that one in from off-site.
Right, and it's about 15 miles away, I think the actual winery was.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and that's the one. We chose that one because it wasn't focused on fruit wines, which are not my favorite. I think we've talked about fruit wines on this podcast before, and they're just not my favorite. So we ended up choosing that one because they did not have or did not focus on fruit wines necessarily. They did have a fruit wine. We actually bought one, that apple. What was it? Apple cider kind of wine.
Oh, the one that tastes like apple pie.
Yeah,
we were getting that one for Thanksgiving.
You insisted on that one.
I didn't insist.
Well, you kind of did.
I kind of did.
Yeah, you did. There's a Christmas store. It was like Christmas vomited everywhere in that store.
That is an apt description of that place, and it was so hard to get Nova out of there.
Oh my God, she loved it so much. It was amazing. There was not a single, except for where you walk, which was actually pretty small too, just kind of like narrow little places that you could walk in. Every single inch of that store screamed Christmas.
Yes.
And it never goes away. It's not seasonal. It's an all year round.
The only thing in there that had nothing to do with Christmas were the little chocolate bars they had sitting up by the cash register.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yep. So we did get some little Christmas ornaments for our tree this year.
And we got some coffee.
Oh yeah. You went to the coffee place.
Yep.
Amana.
Now we had, what was the one that you really liked from that coffee place?
We just finished it this morning.
I know, what was it?
And I don't typically like flavored coffees, but I love the smell of amaretto. You said it smelled kind of like cheap amaretto. And you're probably right, but I like cheap amaretto. Let's be honest.
Oh, was it? You know, it kind of struck me the first day that I drank it, but after the week went through, it was still pretty good.
Yeah. So yeah, you ended up buying like an obscene amount of coffee.
Well, they were $7 a bag.
You're such a deal shopper. So, they were whole bean, and so we've gone through one bag so far. I'm sure we will enjoy the rest.
Of course.
So yeah, there's a coffee shop. Oh, I went to a little bakery. We got a little treat. We got some popcorn, which I don't ever... I don't even want to talk about the popcorn incident. I got a kernel stuck in my tooth and it hurt for like a week until I finally got it out.
And I had to listen about it all the time. Well,
it hurts so bad. I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital.
I shouldn't talk about having to put up with your
my ailments.
Your ailments, because I have been like broken this last month.
A hot mess. Anyways.
So at some point now here, our cart, well, Nova's stroller. I think that's what normal people call it, a stroller. So Nova and I went back to the car to go empty it.
Sorry. All of our treasures. Oh, yeah. We forgot to talk about the toy store. We should talk about that.
Oh, yeah. The toy store.
Nova got a couple toys at the toy store. A hungry little caterpillar stuffed animal. She got some book. And we got some other cool stuff too. A little unicorn puppet. She's also really into unicorns lately. And we got the boys a couple things too.
Yeah, the Mad Libs didn't go over as well with Felix as I was hoping. But Leo loved his little scratch pad. He's got this little book where all the pages are black and you have this wooden pencil that doesn't have any lead in it. It's just a sharp piece of wood. And you sort of scratch the surface and you draw into the black surface. Mm-hmm. So he really liked that. So then after that, then our buggy was getting a little full.
Right.
And so Nova and I split off and you went somewhere.
Where did I go?
You went to an art gallery.
Oh, yeah. And I got a little pottery. I got some pottery there because I am an art hoarder.
And no.
I can't seem to go anywhere without buying art, but I did.
So. I can't seem to go anywhere without going to a grocery store. So I feel you. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing.
Kind of. Only it's a little bit more common for people to enjoy art galleries than grocery stores.
But it's more common for people to go to a grocery store than an art gallery.
Yeah, but they go for utilitarian purposes.
So Nova and I then snuck off to Millstream Brewing, which is the brewery that's down in the Amana Colonies.
Mm-hmm.
You joined us there later, but Nova and I snuck off down there. And you had a heck of a time finding us because there's two, they have like their tap room. And then they have the actual brewery, which has another tap room in it.
Right.
Millstream is kind of a special brewery for me. It was one of the very first breweries that sent samples up to Beer Ploma, rate and review. To actually get to go to Millstream was really cool. It was really neat. And they're under new ownership now. The beers are back. I mean, there was a time when Millstream was definitely kind of sliding down a little bit. And they weren't keeping up with the times. They were sticking with that German mantra. But when I was there, when we were there, every beer was spot on. It was delicious. I had Schildbrau Amber, which is like a classic Midwest beer. And it was delicious. It was fresh. It was juicy. It was spot on. It had all the flavors I was looking for. I also tried their Dickie Frau Pilsner. Perfect Pilsner. It was great. It was delicious. What did you have down there? You had one of their IPAs, didn't you?
Yeah, I probably had an IPA. It was good.
But while we were there, I was noticing this guy kind of bustling back and forth, moving chairs around. And I just stopped and asked him if he was one of the owners. And he is one of the new owners. And he was gracious enough to sit down with me for 5 minutes and give us a little bit of an interview. So why don't we cut to that? And let's hear what they have to say about Millstream. Why don't we start with who you are?
Sure,
what's your name and your role within the brewery?
Yeah, my name's Steve Charlier. And I am the owner of the brewery. So I've got a small group of private partners that we purchased the Millstream Brewing Company in March of 2021.
This is relatively new for you.
Relatively new. I have a background in the grocery business and the liquor business with the Hy-Vee Company years ago. And then I spent the last 25 years running media, digital outlets, TV stations up and down the country. So it was a good chance for me to come back home and get back into a business I knew several years ago and attached myself to a brand that I've loved since I was a young college kid.
It's really interesting, but with Millstream was actually one of the very first breweries that I fell in love with as a craft brewer, and it was one of my inspirations for Beer Ploma. They actually sent us up samples for one of our very first podcast shows back when we just had the Beer Ploma podcast show on YouTube and stuff like that. How are you guys staying relevant in today's craft brewery world? Because that's a really big thing, because you guys are an old name.
Yeah. I'm going to two really simple but maybe complicated mottos for brewers. And one is make it really easy for people to find and buy and consume your beer. And number two is the Girl Scout motto, make new friends and keep the old. It might not sound that complicated, but in the craft brew world it is, right? So this is one of the first breweries in the Midwest. And I've got a really loyal Midwest crowd here that loves the core five German beers. Yet there are an awful lot of 25, 30-year-olds here in Iowa who have no clue who we are, even though we've been here since 1983, 84, 85 when they founded. So we'll really run modernizing the branding of the older brands, and we're just starting to do that, but also launching some other different look and feel and flavors that might look like a startup to somebody else. In the end, it's got the same quality, the same backing, it comes from the same brewer, but it's okay to maybe have an alter ego to appeal to get some new beer drinkers to discover. And eventually they'll figure out that it hopefully leads them here to Amana and where, you know, and they'll taste some of the core beers, the things that maybe they wouldn't have discovered, like a good stout, a good German Pilsner, or a Schildbrau Amber that's been around for 30 years.
Now, I've had your Schildbrau and I've had your Dickie Frau, and I mean, you definitely have that German stamp on your beer styles. I also had a little sip of your grapefruit IPA. That was pretty solid, too.
Yeah.
But definitely, there's definitely that German
feel and taste to your beers. Are you guys planning on sticking forward with that, moving forward?
Yeah, in general. I will tell you, because of the heritage of the town, we will always have that core in a German feel. So that's going to be our base for the most part. What you'll see us expand in is probably a larger IPA series.
Yeah.
And where we've had a lot of fun, though, I will tell you, this summer has been in the developing a Kolsch series. So just going back to a basic Kolsch, and we did a Keller beer, just an unfiltered Pilsner that went over really well. But using them then to try to put some modern touches on it and have some fun with it there. And so just some really good puree and flavors mixed in with Kolsch's have been some of our most popular beers this summer.
See, now you're making me thirsty for more beers, because I am the only person on our Beer Pluma team that's actually had a Kolsch in Cologne. Within the site of the cathedral and stuff like that. So
as you know, we are a Kolsch-style ale in the United States. Unless you drank where you've been, you can just be a Kolsch-style ale.
Yep, that's correct.
More like champagne, right?
So what are some of your favorite beers that are out there right now, that you have right now?
So I'm an IPA fan, so our Millie Hop, which is a grapefruit IPA, a good, crisp, clean New England IPA with just a little bit of back-end grapefruit. You get the aroma up at the beginning. I've got one coming up this fall that we've been developing. It is a bourbon barrel aged pecan porter, which is fantastic. In fact, it sold out at the Iowa State Fair in about a half hour. They went through, they took 1 6 barrel to put on in the high-end tent, and that was gone in no time, and they were asking. So those are kind of the expansions. Our Oktoberfest is here. Everybody says this, but this is a great year for Oktoberfest. I'm telling you, this is one of the best Oktoberfests I've ever tasted out of this brewery. It's just really malty, caramely. It's a little heavier than some might expect or what you might get traditionally at some breweries, but we really love it. And this town is a massive Oktoberfest celebration for 3 days in the fall, which I'd welcome you all here. If you haven't been to, you can't go a block without an Oktoberfest and a good party and a polka band or a rock band here.
Awesome. Any new beers that you want to talk about that are coming out within the next couple of weeks or so that people might be interested in coming down to try?
Absolutely. So one that I think you'd love is a raspberry latte stout. So we took our award-winning Backroad Stout, and it starts with a raspberry puree, fresh-grown raspberries from Michigan, and it finishes with the local espresso on the back end. It is fantastic. So that one I can't tout enough, and it does very well. Any of our barrel-aged porters and stouts in our barrel-aged Oktoberfest right now, those are the things I'm most looking forward to. Once we cross over into football season, that's when I just want to line up and do the barrel-aged and watch a football game on a Saturday, especially a good rainy Saturday, and just make sure I've got 3 or 4 bottles lined up in a row there while I'm watching the Iowa-Minnesota game would be a good one to watch this year. I would just tell your listeners, don't be afraid to – it's easy to get attracted to the sexy beers, right? Some of the clean, crisp Kolsches, a Nordic Pilsner, a good just back-home great recipe – of a good historic, you know, 40, 50, 200-year, 300-year recipe of a good beer, even though it doesn't sound maybe as attractive as the marshmallow, fluff, cocoa, crispy, you know, whatever, give that a try because you'll taste some of the better beers versus maybe what is a lesser product with a lot of flavoring. So I always will encourage that. That's the biggest lesson I've learned with buying this brewery and kind of diving into kind of the heritage beers.
You know, it's kind of funny that you said that because I think I go in phases. Like a couple years ago, I was in a Saison phase, and then I was in like a real big pastry stout phase. But I mean, this year I've been going up and I've been like, give me your best beer flavored beer.
Yeah. I love that. That's a good, that actually needs to be a good name. It's a beer flavored beer. This one tastes like beer. But no, that I guess is the key. I think a lot of times everybody appreciates a good beer. And oftentimes in the Midwest, you grow up thinking that a good beer is Busch Light or Budweiser. And they're perfectly fine. There's nothing against any of those beers, but keep expanding that taste. And even if you've never tried, or maybe you don't think you like what a Guinness stout is, try a local stout from a really good craft brewery and you'll see a lot of depth of flavor. No different than going from McDonald's to a high-end restaurant. There's just a lot more depth. It could be a hamburger, right? But it's a different hamburger with a lot better depth of flavor. And just get into the different types of craft beers that way.
Well, and even so, I mean, there are local light lagers. I mean, if you
they're
go out
amazing,
there, I mean, you've got Fulton.
I had one yesterday.
Which one did you have?
I was at Carroll in Carroll, Iowa, and they had a Carroll Light, which was just a nice, and then they were creating it to be competitive to just the Busch Light craze in that county, in that area. And they had made a superior, really light, easy to drink lager that they could sell at a competitive price point that was, but had a lot more flavor and just, it was a lot better quality than maybe what you'd find in your traditional 30 pack of another distributor.
Yeah, absolutely. And anybody who's been following this show, they know that our message has always been go local or go home. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for this quick interview here. And thank you very much. I mean, the beers I've had so far were excellent. The Dicky Frau was amazing. The Schillbrau was amazing. So I really enjoyed it all. So good luck and keep up the good work. And I look forward to tasting more of your beers.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay. So then on the way back, we stopped at the Black Sheep Social Club for lunch.
Yeah.
Which wasn't a bad place, but it had an attached brewery to it, and it was called Clockhouse Brewing. What an amazing stop. I don't usually expect to find breweries of this caliber in areas of the world like this. This was just such an amazing stop. It was just such a great gem of a brewery. If you guys are ever in the Cedar Rapids area, there's one brewery I have to recommend. It's Clockhouse. Every beer I had was spot on. So I had their Snozzberry Sour, their Witch Slap IPA, their Clockhouse Pilsner, their dry hopped blonde ale, which was delicious. That was so amazing. So great hoppy notes if you're looking for like super hoppy beers. Really good, but with lots of flavor. Also, we had this one called Cherry Explosion.
Yeah, and it reminded me of my beloved Toppling Goliath Cherry Fandango. And so we happen to have the Toppling Goliath Cherry Fandango that Will had bought me ever so lovingly for our anniversary the night before. So we talked them into, well, Will talked the brewery into so graciously and kindly giving us a pint of their Cherry Kettle Sour.
Yeah, the staff was so gracious down there. They bent over backwards to get me some samples to bring up for our podcast shows. So
didn't you review one of them in your other podcast?
Yes. So we have a new I have a new podcast show that I have started called Beer, Bourbon, and Board Games. And the first episode should be coming out right around the same time that this episode is going out. So if you want to hear the dulcet tones of my voice even more, I highly recommend.
Along with several of his goofy friends.
Along with my goofy friends. We come down into to our dark, dank basement. And
it's not dark and dank. Let's get this straight here, buddy. It's a nice, cozy family room.
Yeah, and we reviewed a beer that they hadn't even released at that point yet. They gave me a special preview can of it. It was called Cruising the Avenue, and it's a kettle sour made with black cherries, dark cherries, and pineapple. And it was so good. But if you want to hear my review on that one, head on over to Beer, Bourbon, and Board Games podcast and join us there.
Awesome. So anyways, like I was saying about the Cherry Explosion from Clockhouse, they were gracious enough to send us along on our way with a little pint to bring home. And so here today in our studio, we are going to try the Cherry Explosion from Clockhouse against my beloved Cherry Fandango.
Well, let's not do against. Let's just do a comparison. I don't think either one needs to be a winner.
I would say I've tried them both separately, and they are both delicious.
Okay, so which one's which here?
So the larger glass is, that's the Cherry Fandango.
It tastes like a cherry pie.
It's so good. Oh my God. Like, makes my mouth water. It's so stinking delicious.
Yeah, it's more I would say it's more of a tart than a sour. I mean if there was a tart beer category.
Yeah, and it's got that like nuance of pie taste. It's like tastes like a cherry pie.
It was funny, Gary on the other podcast was telling me that they should serve it with vanilla wafers to kind of give it that a pie crust type texture to it.
Mm-hmm. It's so delicious.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love it. Can't say enough good things about it. It's one of my, like I said, favorite beers.
Yeah, ever. That beer deserves award.
And I'm not a huge kettle sour person. I like them every once in a while.
We kind of had our phase with it, but then it kind of faded away.
Yeah. But this one I would go back to 10,000 times over and over and over again. It's so good. Okay, so there's that one. So now let's try the Cherry Explosion. And they got a cute little cherry that is about to detonate? TNT.
Yeah, it's
detonate. Yeah. TNT.
I'm just smelling this one, and this smells to me more. There's a childhood aroma of cherryness to me for this one. Do you remember those kiddie cocktails when you would go to the bar and they would give you that kiddie cocktail with the cherry juice into it? That aroma triggers that memory for me.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
Oh, I was not expecting the mouthfeel to be that. For some reason, when I had it at the brewery, I thought it was a thinner mouthfeel, but it is a thick mouthfeel, almost on par with the Cherry Fandango.
So the Clockhouse. I keep wanting to say Clockwork.
Well, that's because we have Clockworks here in Minnesota.
Right. We were just there yesterday, weren't we?
No, we were at Broken Clock.
Oh, for crying out loud. Clock, clock, clock. Anyways, Clockhouse does have that little bit more of a childhood memory, kind of candy kind of taste. It's very good, but much different, I think, than the Toppling Goliath. The Toppling Goliath legit tastes like Lunds and Byerly's cherry pie.
It does. It does. And for me, this one, it really tastes like somebody muddled, the explosion tastes like somebody muddled actual cherries. It's not about that pie, replicating that pie.
Right, it's pie-ness. More cherry.
Yes, it's more about the cherries, and the cherries more come forward, but it's not like real syrupy cherry.
And it's not as tart as the Toppling Goliath, I don't think. Try again.
No, it's a much smoother sour than most sours.
Yeah, the Cherry Fandango is much more tart.
Yeah, much more tart. Absolutely. But I mean, just both of them just have just a richness of flavor. I think the Cherry Fandango would be a little bit easier to sell to a person who isn't into sours.
Yeah, they'd both be pretty easy, though. If you don't like beer, both of these beers are for you.
Well, for beers, yes. But for the sour fan, I would recommend the Cherry Fandango, where the sour cherry, the Cherry Explosion, I would recommend more for the diehard sour drinkers that are out there.
Yeah. And our little Nova, she's stealing cheese, running back, watching her Mickey. So anyways, both very good. I do have to say that for me personally, you know, Toppling Goliath is my favorite still. It has not been beaten. But I would never say no to one of these Cherry Explosions. They're very good.
I don't know if I have a favorite. I think they're both good in their own right. I think they both deserve to be Iowa classics.
Okay. Fair enough. So with that, I also brought us a little snack. We had
The Amana Colonies.
Yeah, from the Amana Colonies. It's from the meat and cheese shop. They label it as a cheese shop as well, but I was pretty disappointed by the cheese selection, to be honest.
See, I wasn't. I thought that was pretty standard for it's a meat shop first. If you look it up on Google Maps, it's a butcher shop.
I know, but I thought for some reason they would be like fancy, like, you know, fancy cheeses. But there really wasn't.
But see, I don't go to a place in Iowa for fancy cheeses. I go there for Colby, cheddar, mozzarella, Jack's. I'm going there for American cheeses. Sure.
So what we have here is a sharp cheddar, and then we also have a smoked summer sausage.
That is good. That's delicious.
And we have, the summer sausage is really good. And a Havarti, creamy Havarti. And have you tried the Havarti yet?
I have not.
It is something to talk about, man.
Oh, it's really creamy.
It's so, like, way better than most Havartis I've ever had. Mild and creamy and...
How would you describe the Havarti flavor? I don't know what to... I mean, it's like an earthy tone.
It kind of reminds me...
sharp earthy tone.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me. It has like the same flavor notes as like a Parmesan or a harder cheese, like flavor-wise.
Yeah.
But then texture-wise, it's super smooth and creamy and almost... It almost like melts in your mouth. That's a creamier Havarti than I've ever had.
That pairs super well with the Cherry Explosion.
So yeah, and then we had, I just got a plain traditional summer sausage because you know me.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
And that is really good. The grind is perfect. The moisture level is perfect. I'm really picky when it comes to processed meats. If it's too overground, then it's disgusting, like paste.
Yeah, this one is, I don't like the pasty ones either. Thick. Yeah, and I'm less picky than you are, and I don't like the pasty ones.
Right. This one's it's perfect, actually. And it has a nice acidity to it, perfectly salty, delicious. And all of this stuff was very reasonably priced.
So that was one thing I liked about the Amana Colonies as a whole. Everything was reasonably priced.
Yeah, nothing was out of...
Like the bags of coffee were $7 a piece. I mean, they were a little smaller than the standard bag you would get in a grocery store. But for whole grind coffee or whole bean coffee, that delicious. The cheese and meats were awesome. The wine, the beer, and nothing was overpriced.
Both bars of cheese were less than three bucks.
For both bars?
No, for each.
Oh, each. Okay.
You know, they're like two something for each bar. So yeah, that was a really fun little treat. We also, we probably won't try in the podcast because I just don't feel like it. But we did get some wines from that winery we were talking about earlier.
Prosit.
And we got some wine chips, which I've never heard of. I think it's gimmicky, probably. But you remember those?
The blue cheese wine chips. Oh, the blue cheese wine chips.
I had thought about, let's try those during this podcast, but let's not.
We'll just
enjoy them on a Friday night some night when we don't want to cook dinner.
That will be our little secret.
It will be.
Wink, wink.
Maybe. maybe you guys will hear about it. Maybe you won't. It was a really, really great trip.
Dear Penthouse, today I tried the blue cheese wine chips.
Creepy. Anyways, and then on the way home, what did we do on? Oh, we went swimming at the hotel. Nova would say, God,
she loved it.
Nova would say that was her favorite part of the trip, which is a little sad because we did so many other fun things.
Oh, swimming. She had so much fun.
She loved swimming so much.
So, yeah, our evening was pretty uneventful, but then in the morning we got up and we headed out.
We went through a drive-through coffee shop. It was like a regional chain. What was that called? It reminded me of PJ's down in Louisiana.
Was it Scooters? Yeah, so then we went to Scooters.
Scooters Coffee. And they had really good coffee.
That was really good. So I guess that's kind of like the Cedar Rapids equivalent of...
PJ's or Caribou or something like that. Or like a Dunkin' kind of thing.
Always support your local coffee shop, people.
Yeah, so we got that on the way out. We went to a little park, let Nova run around for a while. And then we went to a brewery.
Yes, that would be Lake Time Brewing.
Yep. And had a couple beers there.
I had a whole flight.
Well, you always have a flight.
I don't always have a flight. We went to three breweries yesterday, and I had not a single flight among them.
No, I think it's funny. Your beer drinking habits are different because when we're in town or at a brewery you've been to before, you tend to not get flights. But when we are traveling, you almost always get a flight.
I'm going to amend that statement that if I feel it's a brewery I will go back to, I will get the pint. If it's a brewery I'm not sure I'm ever going to get back to again, I order the flight.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what I just said.
Kind of what you just said, but like Little Thistle, the first time we were there.
That's like your thought process behind.
Well, like when we went to Little Thistle for the first time, yeah. I didn't order a flight because I knew we would be going back there.
Oh, I love Little Thistle.
Well, we didn't know that the first time we were there.
Right.
But I kind of had a feeling that this is a place we would road trip to often. They're more than, I like my beer in pints. I prefer it in pints. Mm-hmm. But if I don't feel I'm going to ever see a brewery again, mm-hmm. I want to get as many beers in as possible to kind of get a good feel for the brewery.
Sure.
And when I order a flight, they always tell me, well, what do you want in the flight? And I was like, surprise me. Tell me what best represents your brewery.
You always say that. That's true.
So yeah, they had they had a lot of good solid beers there. They had Don't Cross the Streams, which was their IPA. I had their Blackberry Lemonade, which was one of my favorites, which was fruited sours. I had their Red Zeppelin Red Ale, which was really solid. And I'm starting to ramp up for the Red Ales and the Vienna Lagers and...
Fall, baby.
Yeah. Which to me, the fall beers are the reds, not the pumpkins. I had their Raspberry Main Squeeze, their Sandy Bottoms, which was their American Wheat Ale. And that one was really good. I was really shocked to find such... Wheat ales can be so hard to make, but they nailed that one. Yeah, and that's what I had from Lake Time. So,
and then we went out to lunch.
Yeah, we went out to that place that was on the lake.
It was right on the lake. We were able to sit outside, overlook Clear Lake, Iowa, which must be like their Lake Superior. It was so busy. It was so busy and people were like, wow, it's a lake bigger than a pond. And there was 1,000 houses on it and it was, well loved.
It's like, we have water here. We need to build on it.
Mm-hmm. It was nice. There's not a whole lot to say about it. It was nice. The service was good.
The burger was way better than I was expecting. Oh, it was Lakeside Landing. That's it.
So yeah, Lakeside Landing. It was nice to sit out and just look at the lake. And there was like a little tourist paddle boat, like one of those huge paddle boats, like river boats.
Like the Jonathan Paddleford in St. Paul.
Right. It was like that on the lake and... It was just nice to people watch and kind of look over the lake and have a break from driving. Pretty much our trip. It was super fun. Should we talk about what else we've been up to?
What else have we been up to?
Well, we went to the farmer's market yesterday.
Oh, remember? Yeah. We went to the farmer's market.
This is like my Christmas.
Yeah. And you brought back like a van full of produce.
Obscene amount of produce. We talked about last year, my end of summer sauce. And I think I put the recipe out into the universe maybe. So yeah, we did that. I'm going to do that today again because it's the end of summer. I got just a crazy amount of red peppers and corn and tomatoes. I'm going to make a corn salad. I'm going to make a roasted red pepper sauce because I have so many red peppers. I literally got like...
Those are the most beautiful peppers I think I've ever seen, even from a farmer's market.
Wouldn't you say it's like almost 2 gallons of peppers? Gallon and a half? For like $5. So yeah, I have a lot of kitchen projects to do today.
Well, and then we went out to a bunch of breweries yesterday too. So we went to Venn.
Yeah.
56.
Yeah.
And Broken Clock.
Yeah. And so Venn was really good. They always have these like sours with crazy ABVs, but they're very smooth drinking. I had, pomegranate sour, which was really good. And I had an IPA, a pineapple IPA there, which I really liked. Clockworks. Is it Clockworks? No.
Broken Clock.
Gosh, Broken Clock. That's always kind of a fun place. And we were with your mom and JP, and that was fun. And what else should we talk? Our upcoming episode will be coming out So this episode will probably come out
weaker. Well, so today's date is September 5th. Special shout out to my sister. Happy birthday, Carrie.
Yep.
So today is September 5th, so it should be out within a week.
Right. So this podcast or this episode will be out in the middle of September. In October, we will have a new episode out, and that one will focus, I am already kind of planning for it, they'll focus a little bit more on the spooky season. I already have some cocktail ideas, spooky cocktail ideas coming up, and we're going on a big trip.
Yes.
One of the bigger road trips we've done in a long time, actually.
You know, but we're kind of still sticking to that Missouri road trip theme.
Yes.
There's your hint. So if you want to find out where we go, you have to stay tuned for that podcast.
For our next... Yeah.
It's Kansas City, people.
We're going for barbecue.
Yes, we are going for barbecue.
And I'm really looking forward to that. My mom's going to join us in our happy little caravan on the way down to Kansas City for a few days. And we're going to have a lot of adventures along the way.
That's all for the band. Thanks for joining us for Wandering the Weekend. If you like our show, be sure to leave a like or comment on whatever directory you are using. You can follow us on Facebook or you can look us up on Instagram under wandering_weekendmn. Wandering the Weekend is part of the Beer Pluma Podcast Network. Follow Beer Pluma on Untappd under Beer Pluma to find out what we will be drinking next.